All I can do is put my best foot forward, give it all I've got. Even when I'm lost, find my strength, move onward. 'Cause when I fall, that's not all to my story.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. I'm Lynn. Please like, follow, comment, and subscribe. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button so that you never, ever miss an episode of this uplifting and inspiring and encouraging show. Our guest today is Christian recording artist, producer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, Zeal. And her latest single, and she's got a video for this too, is Can't Give Up Now. So Zeal, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you so much, Lynn. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. So we're just going to jump right in here. Now, first of all, where did the name Zeal come from?
It goes way back when I was kind of a teenager and I was reading the Bible and I came across this word and I was like, Mom, I asked my mom, I was like, what does this word mean? And she said, it means to have an enthusiasm, a fervor, an excitement for something or for Jesus. And I was just like, oh, I love this word, you know? And so resonated with me, as I'm a very enthusiastic and expressive type of person. So yeah, I love the word. So I was like, that represents my personality. So that's how it came about.
Then so what did your mother say about that? You're going to hop from your government name to Zeal.
I know. Honestly, most people, when I tell them, you know, or when I told them that was what I was trying to do, they're like, oh, that fits you perfectly, you know, because they know my personality. They know I'm I'm very expressive as far as, you know, I like to make people laugh and have fun and just exuberant in that way. So they're like, oh, that's perfect. It fits your personality just right. And it fits how I've lived my life as according to my excitement to spread the gospel. And so she doesn't really take offense or anything. She still calls me by my government name. It doesn't change anything with that. And yeah, she just loves supporting me. So it's all good, you know.
Where did you grow up? Are you in the Los Angeles area now, but where did you grow up?
Yeah. I was born in the heart of L.A., the Martin Luther King Hospital.
Okay.
And then when I was three, my family moved to Denver, Colorado for about 5.5 years. And then we came back to California when I was about 9. But we lived in an area called Palmdale or Lancaster or the Antelope Valley. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I spent a big chunk of my years as far as like 9 years old to about 26. And then after that, I kind of moved around and planted myself now in Pomona, which I actually really like Pomona.
Oh, okay. I lived in L.A. for 15 years, and when folks said, I'm going out to Pomona or Pomona, would say, ooh, you're going a long way out.
Yes. It's almost like a different state in the way that, culturally, I should say. It feels like you're not really in California sometimes just because, I don't know, it's really desert-y. I'm going to make up a word there. It really feels like the desert, but I loved it. I still keep in touch with all of my friends out there and stuff, and that's my hometown, you know. So
okay.
Yeah, my husband and I love Pomona too, so, or this area.
Well, you know, each area of the LA region is very different, just each one of them.
Exactly.
Now, what was it like growing up in your household? Were you raised in a Christian household? Did you have music going all the time?
Yes, definitely. We grew up in a Christian household with a couple of generations of ministers, whether they were missionaries or they were singers. My grandmother, she's passed, but she was a beautiful soprano singer, and that passed down to my mom and her siblings, and that passed down as well to me and my sister. So we were always singing in our household. My dad's side of the family sings as well. My father sings, so
oh wow,
four of us singing all the time. My mom plays the piano and writes music, and just grew up
very musical household,
a lot of ministry. So
now, what were you allowed to listen to while growing up?
right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good question. Honestly, we did listen to a lot of gospel day in and day out. It wasn't a religious household in the sense of putting restrictions on too much music, but we did try to stay away from things that were vulgar and things like that. But mostly gospel, a lot of Hezekiah Walker, John P. Key, Richard Smallwood, Kirk Franklin, all of that. But as I got a little older, you know, Brandy, Lauryn Hill, I always loved Whitney from day one, Stevie, you know, still pretty clean music, but we were allowed to listen to things like that, and once in a while my dad would throw on some, you know, Run DMC or something, but
okay,
you know, keep it fresh, keep it, you know, the rap area had to come in a little bit too, but yeah, it was pretty diverse in a way, so.
Well, what would you say was the music that influenced your current style that you have?
I would say I've always loved Richard Smallwood because I love, you know, orchestra or symphony music mixed with the gospel sound, but also the Run DMC kind of had a play in it, as well as I like some hip hop and, you know, deep bass and Brandy, the different harmonies and things like that. So honestly, they all kind of played a role in how I create, Whitney included. You know, how she would phrase different things or hold out different notes. That influences how I portray or deliver the message vocally and musically. So I would say, honest, at least five of those artists really played a part in how I create. But yeah, including the Holy Spirit, of course.
Amen to that. Holy Spirit, got to put that in there.
Amen.
What was the first song that you remember that you ever wrote?
I would say it was, if you could believe it, I would say it was this funny little song. I remember writing it as a little kid in Denver, and it was called it has nothing to do with Jesus, it had nothing to do with anything really, but my silliness came out, and it was called the Weeky Weeky song, okay, so what happened?
Weeky Weeky. That's funny.
What happens in this song is I was writing a funny song about a car that squeaks when it rolls by. And that was my first song that I remember, and it was just me having fun. It was a little rap ditty, you know, but then later on I would write, you know, more heartfelt things. But yeah, that was just me having fun, and that was my first song ever.
First song. Oh, wow. Weeky Weeky. Okay. Yeah. Now, what would you say is your favorite song by a favorite artist of yours?
Ooh, I would say Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You. She was my ultimate favorite. I just love that song. You know, I think about my husband when I sing it, or I think about loved ones where you just, I don't know, I will always love them. I appreciate people in my life, and you could take it in a romantic way or in just appreciation of people's friendship and what they mean to you. So I really love that song. So no matter where we go in life, you know, I will always love them. So.
You'll love them. Now, you said that, did I hear you right? You really accepted your calling to do this ministry and singing, songwriting, worship music at age 12?
Yes, yes. It was very, I would say, kind of early on. I don't know if that's later or early, but.
No, it's kind of early. Yeah, that's kind of early, 12. Okay. You're not even a teenager yet.
Yeah. I mean, growing up in a Christian household probably could have had a big influence on that as well. But yeah, my mom was my first hero in watching her do ministry and stay strong in the Lord. But early on, when I was 7 years old, I got saved. And then I didn't realize I could even sing until about 8 years old. Man, I just fell in love with singing. And then about 4 years later, I literally felt like the Lord would speak to me, just like, you need to sing, you need to write, and this is what you're going to be doing in life. I'm like, okay, well, I'm only 12, but let's do it. I don't know. But yeah, early on I had the burden to share the gospel of Jesus to my friends at school and have fun with writing music and that would bring God glory and even other fun songs. But yeah, that was when I felt called to do ministry.
If you were not doing ministry, what do you think what do you think you would be doing? Like, do you have any other, like, training, educational wise, to do anything else? Or is this is all you thought about?
No, actually, at another time in my life, early on, I think I was about 6 or 7, I fell in love with sign language. And so I didn't even realize at the time, because we were in Denver at the time, that I had a deaf cousin. And so I just fell in love with the language and started teaching myself from this little book that this lady gave me. And then down the road in college, that's what I got my BA in, is in interpreting and sign language. And so I've used that professionally as well. And with my friends and things like that to communicate to the deaf community. And I love it. And one day I still want to get certified. But I was an interpreter for a little bit, and I still try to keep up the language. Yeah.
Yeah, that is something that probably a lot of folk would not necessarily know or guess about you.
Yeah.
That's very different. I've never met anyone with a degree in that.
Mm-hmm. Very different world than the music world, you know, completely opposite, because, you know, it's just a world of silence and expression in a different way. But I love the culture. I love the people. The language is just so beautiful, and I will never want to give up.
Yeah, that you made me remember about that movie Coda. Have you seen Coda?
You know, I it's so funny. I have not, but I know about Marilyn. I can't even think of her name right now. the famous deaf actress.
Deaf actress, yeah.
Yes, she was excellent. I mean, I've seen it's the newer movie. It's more scary. It's with like sci-fi. I can't think of it, where they have to be quiet. If you make a sound, then this creature comes after you or whatever. The whole time through the movie, they're using sign language because their daughter is deaf, and that was part of why they were able to survive, because they were still all able to communicate. Why can't I think of the title? We love this movie, my husband and I, but anyway.
You'll remember it later after you're done with me. Then you'll go, that's what I was trying to think of.
Right, exactly. A Quiet Place.
Oh, A Quiet Place. Oh, okay. So you're a wife, and I understand that, you know, you work with your husband in his ministry as well. So how do you juggle all of that and your ministry and recording career? That is a lot.
A lot of prayer, and honestly, he helps me a lot with juggling all those things, and then we tag team. When he has a lot on his plate, I help him, and he helps me, but God seems to work it out a lot of times, where there's a pocket of time in my agenda where I'm able to help him when he needs it, or vice versa. So we really try to hold each other up, and just seeking God and the decisions we make as well together. And that's the only way we could all make it, you know, with victory, because it just seems like there's so much on everybody's plate nowadays, where, you know, you have to juggle a lot and you have to be wise in how you use your time. So I do try to rise early and, you know, get done in the morning. And all those things, but he helps me tremendously. I really could not do it without him.
Well, that is truly a blessing to have a partner like that, where you both can work and balance each other out. Now, going into some of the music questions here, and you as an artist, for those who may not know, what's the difference between a Christian artist and a gospel artist? Because you've said that you're a Christian artist, so what is the difference?
Yes, I would say I'm a Christian recording artist, just for the fact of there is no, I don't want any boundaries as far as the categories I'm in. I do create very diverse sounding music where I can fit into the contemporary Christian sound, or sometimes I could fit into the gospel sound, or just fit into, you know, the edgy Christian sound. And so I am a believer in Jesus that records music. And so to put me just in gospel, because that is a actual category as far as, you know, when you look at the billboards and stuff, I don't want to be just known as just the gospel artist. And, you know, I am a Christian artist, but I do inspirational music as well. So just putting myself out there without the gospel label helps me to cross over with various sounds and not be in just one category.
So what is your greatest testimony to date as a woman of faith, as a recording artist? What would you say is your greatest testimony, or that God has brought you through?
Oh my goodness. The first thing that pops in my head is actually the reason why I wrote my newest single, Can't Give Up Now. I would say, yes, there's been times I almost died, or yes, there's been times that I was so heartbroken and things like that. But more specifically, about 4 years ago, God allowed me to go through a healing process of just a lot of the things that I've been through in my life, where, you know, there were family hurt, my parents divorced, so or you're moving around because of financial issues and things like this. And so, or I shouldn't say that happened 4 years ago, but just processing all the things in my past, I was finally able to sit down and do that with the Lord, healing my heart. But it also came with depression and anxiety, filling my heart and my mind as well, that I needed to work through. And I learned some areas about myself that I didn't trust God. I learned some areas of myself where I needed to let go of some pride, or truly push away anxiety by letting God be God and me not trying to make decisions based on fear and things like that. So yeah, I even went to a point of needing to be on anxiety meds, antidepressants. Mm. And for me, growing up in the Christian home, you love Jesus, you've been called to ministry since 12 and blah, blah, blah. That can mess with your mind a lot, where you feel like, oh, did I ever have faith? And am I being a phony? Am I truly trusting God? And he healed my heart in so many ways by sitting me down in that way and letting me have time off from work, or just time with him, to realize that the pockets and areas that I needed healing family-wise and healing with him, to trust him deeper. Mm-hmm. So I was on those meds for about 6 months, and I told him, I was like, I don't want to be stuck on these. I'm giving it 6 months. I need you to heal me. I need you to speak to me. I need you to teach me whatever I need, because depression and anxiety is not from you, Lord. So teach me what's going on and help me to gain victory over this and to conquer my... So when the rise in suicide happened in 2020, I could relate a lot to those people that wanted to give up. I could relate to the depression people were feeling. And, you know, they had a sense of hopelessness. I still had hope. I wasn't suicidal, but I understood the anxiety and the feeling alone, you know, all those feelings. So that's where the song Can't Give Up Now was birthed, through my pain. And it's funny, because I when I would read the word about disciples saying, oh, we thank God for our trials, and we thank him for tribulation and the pain that we go through, I'm just like, why do you mm-hmm. want to go through that, you know? But I understand now. I actually thank him for my pain. I thank him for the trials, because I've grown. I've become more wise, and I'm able to relate to even more people on a deeper level. So that was my hardest time.
And then it birthed this song, huh?
It birthed songs, and it birthed relationships with people. It birthed being able to speak the exact thing that somebody needs to hear. You know, when I was on tour with the Kanye choir, I remember one of my friends, she was going through, and, you know, she was having a panic attack, and I knew exactly what to say, because I have panic attacks. I knew exactly how to calm her down. I knew exactly what the Lord wanted me to speak to her, because I could relate. And so I thanked God for that. And I don't know, I thank mm-hmm. him for my trials now. He's really healed me in my mind in certain areas. So it's a different life now.
Oh, well, amen. There's some clarity there.
Yes, yes.
Now, you also mentioned that you were on the road with the Kanye choir. So how were you able to get together to work on your project? You got your husband, that ministry, you doing this, then you're going out there with the Kanye, I'm going to call them the Kanye folks. Yeah. And then you're out there ministering to the folks in the Kanye choir. So when did you
think of that?
Yeah, so it's like you're out there ministering on the road. You have an EP coming or an album coming?
Right now, I am trying to just do it as singles, as far as when I release music. Mm-hmm. I may compile it as an EP down the road. But yeah, when we were really at our peak as far as traveling and singing everywhere, I wasn't able to create as much, because you just don't have the mental space or the time. But now that it's pretty much calmed down, I'm able to really nurture what I'm, you know, on my side of things, and nurture those things. But my song was able to be produced because one of the people that I met in the Kanye choir, he helped co-produce it with me. So
who co-produced with you then?
Chaz Mason is his name. So yes, he worked on this song with me, Can't Give Up Now, and another song that I'm going to be releasing soon. And yeah, so even though I wasn't able to work on my music as much, you know, when I wanted to with the choir, I still was able to put out my other single, Peace Be Still. But down the road, once it quieted down with the choir, I was able to use those resources of people that I've met and gained friendships with to create right now. So I'm very grateful with what God has been doing and setting those situations up for me.
Because that had to be an interesting experience out there on the road with that choir. I saw some of their stuff, you know, online, and some of the videos. The music that they were doing was more or less like, you know, along the lines of some Richard Smallwood stuff.
Yeah.
Jeffrey LaValle, you know, like Revelation 19. And that was interesting.
I'm grateful. It was a lot of, mm-hmm. a lot of just very fast paced growth.
Fast, huh? Okay.
Before, yeah.
Okay. Now, what do you want this single that you have to do as it goes out there into the marketplace? And you're working on the other ones where there's more to come, but what do you want this current one to do?
I just hope, you know, there's so many people in just a very dark place, whether you're a believer or not, just mentally and emotionally, people are a little tired, you know, so when you get tired, if you throw on the song, I pray they feel the presence of God. I hope that they feel and understand his word a little bit better, where it's just saying, don't give up, child. I'm here with you. You're not alone. And that, you know, when they share it with their friends or whatever they do with it, that they're just encouraged to keep going, even if it means minute by minute, day by day. And so that's what I'm hoping this song does, is just encourage people, whatever they're doing, whether it's a business venture or not committing suicide or just not giving up as far as the calling they have in ministry, that they just really seek the face of Jesus to not give up, and they just abide in him. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping from this one. And honestly, most of my music, I really hope to just encourage people to seek the face of Jesus even more, to just gain a closeness with him, whether you know him or you don't, that your relationship is created or deepened with Jesus. That is the whole point of the Release the Zeal ministry. So, yeah.
Okay. So where can people find your music online? I know the video is on YouTube. Where can they find your music to stream, to download, to purchase? And then where can they find you on social media?
Yes. Okay. So if you go to releasethezeal.com, you can find all of my social media platforms, or just type in Release the Zeal, all one word, Z-E-A-L, like Zealous. And my song is also on YouTube. If you type in Zeal or Release the Zeal, Can't Give Up Now, it's on there. And my other latest song, Peace Be Still, is on there as well on my channel, Release the Zeal. So I would love to connect with whoever wants to connect. And the singles are also on iTunes and Amazon, if you look on there as well. So yeah, I would love to connect.
Well, all right, Ms. Zeal, full of energy, ministering all over the place. thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate you, and God bless you in all that you do as you are on this walk and ministering in and throughout his kingdom.
Thank you so much, Lynn. To God be the glory, I pray.
And audience, I want to thank you for joining us today as usual. Now don't forget to subscribe so that you never ever miss an episode of this uplifting and inspiring show. So go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Believe me, you will not be sorry, and your soul will be happy. Now, if you'd like to reach me, Lynn Woods, you can find me on Twitter. That's at Lynn Woods, LINWOODS, or Instagram at Lynn Woods 96, or Facebook or LinkedIn at just Lynn, L-I-N, last name Woods, W-O-O-D-S. This has been the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. And taking us on out, here is Zeal with Can't Give Up Now on the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. God bless.
After they lied,
don't give up.